Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group, NCA, in Zuchus of Rivka Bela, Bas Nechama Shifra, and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we're going to be learning the halachas of Mezuzah, Part 1. This is in Simon Yud Aleph, the 11th chapter of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And in our first section, we're going to look at three basic concepts regarding the Mezuzah. And that is understanding the mezuzah and which entrances need a mezuzah, where on the entrance way it is placed, and how to put up a mezuzah. That's going to be the three ideas we're going to deal with today. First concept is which entrance needs a mezuzah, but before we get there, the Torah tells us twice, "Ukasavtam al mezuzos beisecho v'yishorecho," you shall write to them, referring to this section, on the doorposts of your houses and your gates. Because it says it in two paragraphs, we put those two paragraphs, which are the two paragraphs of Kriya Shema, into the tenet. It's a parchment which is placed in a container on the doorpost as well. These paragraphs describe the importance of accepting the yoke of heaven. That's the first paragraph of Kriya Shema. That's the love and commitment to Hashem in general. And then the commitment to the mitzvahs and the consequences of keeping and not keeping those mitzvahs as well. These are ideas which we're supposed to remember as well. What is the meaning of this mitzvah? So it is a constant mitzvah that one fulfills. And therefore, if one's not doing it right, a constant mitzvah one is missing when one has a house. And it reminds of a person of Hashem every time a person walks in or walks out of that house as well. It also reminds us that Hashem is everywhere, and therefore one has to conform one's behavior to reflect that as well. In addition, the Kitzur points out that having a mezuzah affords protection from sin and damaging forces. The pasuk tells us, "Choyne malach Hashem salviv le'ri'ov v'yachatzeim," Hashem's angel surrounds those who fear him and will protect them. This is referring to those who fear him, those who have a mezuzah as well. And therefore, being careful, the mezuzah is actually known to, it comes with the promise of an extension of life. And that is, as the Torah tells us, the end of the second paragraph of Kriya Shema, "Leman yirbu yameichem v'yamei v'neichem." Your days and the days of your children will be extended by keeping the mezuzah. So it's a very important mitzvah. Let us deal with some of the basic questions related to it. So if I have many rooms in my house and I only really use a few of them, do I need a mezuzah on all of them? The answer is yes. All the rooms that one uses needs mezuzah, even if one's using them infrequently as well. If I have a storage room, which I have an entrance to, which is an accessible entrance, but there's one door at the back, which I very infrequently use, in that case, that door would not need a mezuzah as well. What about the entranceways to my yard? So let's say I lead out to my yard. The answer is yes, I would need one there as well. What about city gates or closed off neighborhood gates? So if they have the correct, the entranceway standards, that they have two posts and a door frame, then yes, they would also require as well. What happens if there's a big door leading to my house, but I have a smaller door next to it, which is used more regularly, not for ceremonial purposes, but so I'll use the big one when I have guests, and the small one I just use just in and out. So in that case, both would require a mezuzah. Both would require a mezuzah in this circumstance. That is the end of the first concept. Our second concept for today is, where is the mezuzah actually placed? So the Gemara tells us that there is an oral tradition, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that the mezuzah is placed on the right-hand side of the entrance as well. So then the question we have to ask ourselves is, which right is that? So you can have the right facing in or facing out, then the right would be on either side. Which one is it? So it's the right side entering into the house as well. What happens if I had made a mistake and I placed it on the left side of the entrance, the incorrect side? In that case, it is actually invalid, and I would need to remove it from there, place it on the right side with a bracha, because I did not fulfill the mitzvah up to this point as well. What happens if I'm a left-handed person? In this case, it doesn't matter. This is always the right-hand side going into the house. This is not about the individual. It's actually about the house. And that is universal commandment. It is not specific to the individual as well. What happens? This is such a common case that I have two rooms and they lead into each other and I go backwards and forwards, right? So I go into this room and then I go into that room. I have a kitchen and a dining room, backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. So which side should I go on? Because I can say it's right going in or right going out or vice versa. It's the same thing. So in this case, we look at the destination. Which room over here is the room you go to? Usually, if it's coming from the kitchen, it would be going to the dining room. That's where one entertains guests. That's where the destination is, generally speaking, unless one eats and spends most of one time in one's kitchen at the kitchen table. But generally speaking, one looks at the destination. The destination is therefore seen as the place one's going to, and it's the right going into that destination as well. if the traffic is equal in both directions, so you go back and forth and back and forth, no room is really the destination, then you would look at what's called Heker Tzir, which is you see which way the door swings. We usually assume that the door opens into the destination room, and therefore wherever the door opens into would be considered the destination, and the right hand would be going into that room. Where on the doorpost does it go? So we divide the height of the doorpost into three sections, and it should go at the lowest part of the top third of the door. If it's an exceptionally high door, and then one would not be able to see it or reach it, then it would go at shoulder length as well. But that's usually an exceptional case. But generally speaking, it has to be at the lowest part of the top third. This could mean to say that if one has a very tall door frame, like in a house, one's kids may not reach it, but that's not a reason to be able to put it lower, just for the kids to touch. It should not be at the top, within 3.5 inches, about a tefach from the top of the door frame as well. What if I put it outside of this range? It's too high, it's too low, then it's invalid. In that case, it needs to be reattached and a new bracha needs to be made as well. What happens if I have a very deep door frame? So the door frame is wide. So in that case, where on the door frame does it go? So the mezuzah needs to be beneath the lintel. So if you exactly where it is, you need to look up. Is it beneath the lintel? That's the most important. And if it is, it's on within the tefach. It's within a 3.5 inches of the entrance side. So I mean to say, I want to encounter it as soon as I'm walking into the room first as well. If I live in a dangerous neighborhood and I'm concerned it'll be stolen or desecrated or might put me in danger, what should I do? So in this case, it could be dug into the doorpost. One can dig out a section in the doorpost to place the mezuzah in and cover it, but as long as one knows exactly where it is, where it's marked, and if that's not possible, and one does not have the ability to be able to dig into the doorpost, then one can put it on the inside of the door or the door frame, preferably under the actual lintel itself. If that's not possible, it can be on the inside of the door frame, actually on the door frame itself, it cannot be on the wall. Concept number three, and the last one for today, is how does one put up a mezuzah? So the Torah tells us it's a mitzvah to put up a mezuzah, and as we know, in many cases where there's a mitzvah, there is a bracha. So there is a special bracha. So a few basic questions. Number one is, the mezuzah is a parchment. So how does a parchment go on a door? So interestingly enough, if you actually go visit up in the Shomron today, the Mount of Grizim, Har Grizim, you see there's a group of people called the Shomronim. It's a faction of people who used to be Jewish, who broke away from being Jewish and observed only the Torah Shavich Savin, only the written Torah. And so if you look by their entrances, they have written in their dialect of whatever, of Hebrew, on the actual door frame itself, because it says, Uksasom al-mezuzah is beisecha. Mezuzah actually technically means the doorpost. That's not the tradition of the Torah. The Torah's tradition of the oral Torah explains that the Torah means is it is affixed to the door. So you take the parchment and one has to roll it up. One rolls it from end to front, which means from Echad to Shema, if one's looking at the actual words, and then wraps it up and affixes it to the door. It should be double wrapped, first of all, because of the weather and not being affected by by external elements as well, as well as concerns we'll see about what it's exposed to in terms of appropriateness as well. How should one affix it? So many today use double tape. The halacha prescribes nails, and it's preferable. It's really considered kaviyah, setting it into the door. If one is using double tape, it has to be something which is obviously not going to create a problem. It's not going to be something which is going to be loose. What position should it be in? So the truth is, this is a dispute between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam as to the most appropriate way to store Sifrei Kodesh, holy writings. The one opinion is the Sfaradim Paskin that it is going to be in a vertical state. That's and the Ashkenazim Paskin a compromise, not vertical, not horizontal, but at an angle as well. And this is why Sfaradi Torahs are standing straight in their box and Ashkenazi Torahs are leaning at an angle in the Aron and on the Bimah. The Bimah is usually at an angle, and the Mezuzah is also at an angle because of this as well. It's also very helpful when one enters one's house to remember that as one enters one's house, compromise is in fact the modus operandi of being in a house. Which way does it lean for the Ashkenazim? Which way does it lean? So the bottom should face outside, and the Shema, the top of it, should face inside as well. So then the question is how could a mezuzah not be hung? And the answer is hanging. You cannot attach only the top of the mezuzah and have it swinging, hanging on the door. That's inappropriate. It needs to be attached to the top and the bottom as well. What is the bracha on the mezuzah? So the bracha is, Asher kidishon v'mitzvah sovet zivano. Hashem commanded us in his commandments and sanctified us by giving his commandments, and commanded us to likboa a mezuzah, to affix a mezuzah. Does each mezuzah require its own bracha? The answer is no. One can say a bracha. One can say a bracha and do all of them, but there should be no interruptions to the bracha until the last mezuzah is set up, which means to say all the homework needs to be done beforehand, finding where they should be placed, setting up how one's attaching them, having everybody ready. So this should all be set up so that the bracha can now be expeditiously connected to all of the putting on the mezuzahs. What if the mezuzah fell off? Does it require a bracha when affixing it again? The answer is yes. What happens when I send it to be checked? The Kitzur points out this is a safek. It's not so clear that one needs a new bracha. And the reason is because one intentionally removed it. It's kind of like taking the talus off before going to the restroom. In that situation, one does not need a new bracha. But if it fell off, one needs a bracha. Similarly over here, if the mezuzah fell off, one needs a bracha because it wasn't intentional. If one takes it off, then one does not need a new bracha. When do I put out the mezuzah? So the answer is the day you move into to your house, you start using it, your house is the day that the mezuzah needs to go up, which is sometimes very hectic because moving is a very tough day. But that means to say one needs to make the preparations in advance, finding out where all the tools are, where the mezuzahs are going to be for that day. What if I'm renting? So it doesn't change anything in Israel, but in Chutz La'aretz, where there's assumption that perhaps people might not be long-term, in that situation, one is only obligated in rentals 30 days in. But for a acquisition, for buying a property, one would have to put it on the day that one starts using it as well. We're going to hold here for the first three concepts of the Halachos of Tefillin. We'll continue the second and last section shortly. Have a wonderful and meaningful